Well, it's a blessing to be here. I'm grateful for the good preaching that we've heard and for the good singing that has exalted the Lord. I'm glad it's not like it is in some places where they've adopted a different music style. I still like the old time singing, amen? I believe that How Firm a Foundation's a wonderful, wonderful song. And I'm grateful for the old songs. I'm a fundamentalist. I believe the Bible. God wrote with a pen that did not blot. Spoke with a tongue that did not slip. And acts with a hand that does not fail. And I thought I'd tell you, He's my God. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but He's my God. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible said, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You either have the Son, or you don't have the Son. You see, I believe this, Christ is experienced in the heart by, in the soul by repentance. Don't believe anybody gets saved without repenting. Oh, no, no. No one gets saved without repenting. Christ is experienced in the soul by repentance. Christ is enthroned. Are you listening to me? Christ is enthroned on the heart by faith in Him. Amen. And Christ is enjoyed in the mind by surrender. And Christ is exhibited in the life by obedience. Amen. Can I say to you, if Christ is in you, you ought to exhibit that. Amen. And you won't have to wear a placard. Amen. You won't have to wear a cap or a shirt. I'm telling you, if he saved you by His grace, it'll show up in your life. Amen. Amen. I'm a little bothered about some of this crowd that talks about knowing Christ and they live like the devil. I say again, I'm like the black man who said, if you is what you was, you ain't. I'm saying to you, when you get saved by the grace of God, God changes your life. I'm saying to you, I'm glad He lives in here. Well, I have an assignment this afternoon that you might think that it's not fitting, but if you don't like it, take it up with my boss. Turn right back to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, probably the greatest doctrinal chapter in the entire Bible. I want to share a few thoughts with you from the book of Romans chapter 8. If you couldn't, would you stand out of respect for God's word? I'm putting in probably the most familiar verse in the chapter. Verse number 28. And here's what it said. And we hope... No, that's out of the NIV, that non-inspired. He said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Let me just put a pause there and say, He's working all things together for good for my deliverance. He's working all things together for good for my development. Working all things together for good for my direction. I'm glad He's working all things together for good. He said, for whom He did foreknow, and by the way, He did, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in, get that word in, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a text. Amen. I'm grateful for this portion of the scripture. And I trust you'll pray that God will speak to our heart from his word today. Would you pray with us? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the grace of God that saved our soul. I do pray today, Lord, that you might minister to our need, that you might rebuke Satan and all his adversaries and give liberty. Lord, you said with the Spirit of the Lord, there's liberty. And you said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them to ask him? So we ask you by faith to fill us. Lord, I give you my mind, my heart, my lips, my tongue, my all. And I pray that you'll take me as an instrument in your hands and accomplish your purpose. And Lord, I pray that you might encourage some discouraged saint today. And Lord, that you might help us to draw nearer to thee. And what you do for us, we'll praise you for. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. There's many, many different mountain scenes in the Bible. I'm grateful. Hey, I'm grateful for every mountain scene in the Bible. I could go yonder to Mount Sinai, and on Mount Sinai, I see the holiness of the person of our God. He is a holy God. Israel's encamped there in Sinai for 18 months. Moses goes up on the mount. He comes down from the mount, and he presents to Israel two tablets of stone. But I'm going to tell you, he presents more than that, Brother Barry. He presents to them the glory of God written all over his face, and he has to have a veil upon his face because it's so penetrating light.
Yes, amen.
But I'm wondering if maybe that veil was somewhat for Moses' purpose, because it was a glory that faded away. He presented the glory of God. And by the way, Moses said, show me thy glory. And the Lord said, there's a place by me.
Right.
He said, I'm going to pass by, and I'm going to take my hand and cover you. Are you listening to me? That's what hinders the glory of God. Your flesh and my flesh, that hinders the glory of God from being seen. And so God said, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to cover that flesh, and you'll be able to see my back parts. Moses is interested in God showing Israel his glory. And God primarily says to Moses, can't do that right now. But I read in John chapter 1, and the word became flesh, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Yeah.
And what did he do? He dwelled among us. Moses' glory faded because it was dependent upon his being in the presence of God, literally speaking. But I'm saying to you, there's no reason today that the glory of God can't be seen in your life and in my life, because we have a wonderful access into the throne room of glory. We have a wonderful audience with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and a wonderful answer to our prayer. We can express the glory of God in our day. Let me say to you, friend, there's a lot of folks that talk about the glory of God and the fullness of God, and it's contrary to the Word of God. Because I believe when you take on the fullness of Christ, you live a life that's filled with Christ. It'll be a life that takes on the character of God. It'll be a life that takes on the character of God, and that will include, it will affect your vocabulary. You'll not be using guttural speeches in the pulpit and guttural words and profane words. You're welcome. I'm saying we're living in a day today. There's a lot of folks that are looked up to and promoted, and folks have advertised them and supported them. That's contrary to the Word of God. So here in this chapter, we could go up to Mount Sinai and we see the person, the holiness of God. We could go down to Mount Nebo, and there we're reminded at Mount Nebo of the plan of God. God would not allow Moses to enter in because he sinned against the Lord. We could go from there and come down to Mount Carmel. And on Mount Carmel, we see the power of God. We move from there, we could come to Mount Calvary, and we're reminded of the wonderful love of God. Greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. We could move from there to Mount Olivet and be reminded of the promise of God. He said, this same Jesus whom you send into see ascend into heaven shall so come, and like manner if you've seen him ascend, he's going to come again. But I'm interested in Mount Assurance today. I'm interested in this portion of scripture. And by the way, the word of God, it encompasses and includes every mountain peak of the revelation of our God. And Romans 8:28, it said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, there's a lot of things I don't know, but there's some things I do know. Could I say to you, I see the certainty of the providence of God. The certainty of the providence. He said, we know. We know that all things work together. We know. Now, the media doesn't know anything. And D.C. doesn't know anything. And the White House don't know who's on first. And everybody's confused as termites and yo-yos. And could I say to you, they don't even know what happened yesterday. And they're not able to learn from what happened yesterday. I'm saying we live in an uncertain world. We live in a time when there's so much uncertainty, but there is a certainty to the providence of God. There's some things we do not know. We look through a glass darkly today, but thank be to God there'll be a day when we'll see him face to face. I'm saying we do not know what lies ahead. In this building today, there's those that have experienced great suffering. You've had great physical problems. We do not know what might lie ahead. And by the way, can I tell you, it won't be your vitamins that keeps you on. It won't be your Geritol. Oh, no. It'll be a God in heaven. For in him we live and move and have our being. I'm saying to you, the very breath we breathe today is a gift of Almighty God. And by the way, God is interested in your welfare. Yeah. I'm saying this, we know, he said it, the certain, we do not know about the sufferings that might come in our life. We do not know about the sorrow. We do not know about the day of death. We know we have an appointment with death. We do not know about the day of the Lord's coming. Again, Harold Camping didn't know. He didn't know a few weeks ago. He won't know in October. He won't know it. Hey, no man knows the day of the hour, but there's a God in heaven that knows. Amen. I know him. Could I say, we do not know who the Antichrist is. Now, personally, I believe he's living today. Now, in my lifetime, I'm just a young man, just 69. And I've heard folks say, well, so-and-so, he fits all the description of the Antichrist. Kissinger fit that bill, they said. And then this folks said, oh, Mr. Obama was the Antichrist. I said, no, he's not the Antichrist. He's probably the forerunner. But you don't know who the Antichrist is. I've had some folks say, yeah, I know who he is. But they lie about other things too. I'm saying many things we don't know. We don't know about who the Antichrist might be and a lot of other things we don't know. But I'll tell you, I'm like that blind man, the man born blind, John chapter number 9. They're questioned about what took place in his life. He said, I'll tell you, there's a lot of things I don't know. But one thing I do know, I once was blind, but now I see. I'm saying to you, I'm grateful that God settles it in our heart. I once was blind, now I see. Once was lost, but now I'm found. Once was a child of the devil, now I'm a child of the king. Amen. I was once on the broad road going toward hell. Now I'm on the straight and narrow way that leads to life everlasting. Some things I do not know for certain about, but some things I do know. Now, notice with me this. There's some things I do know. In the book of Psalm 119, notice with me. Psalm 119 and verse number 98. Here's the way it reads. He said in Psalm 119 and verse number 98, he said, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. It is this. He's given us what? A superior knowledge. Now, notice with me again, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1, Paul said, we know if this tabernacle is dissolved, We have a new one. We're going to have another one. Praise God for that. He said, we're not guessing about that. We're not hope. We know that. And then he said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We know. Then again, in the book of 1 John chapter number 5, he said, we know. Hey, how do we know? These things have been written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. In Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Can I say to you, all things are working together for your good if you belong to Christ.
Amen.
Let me back up and hesitate just a minute and say this. All things are not working together for the unsaved, for their good. Oh, no, no. All things are working together for their ruin. We said, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible's written for believers anyway. John chapter 3 verse 18. He said, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned when? Already. God's working all things together for our good. Now, notice with me again in the book of 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to read this one to you. 1 John chapter number 5, and I'm looking at verse number 20. And here's what it said. He said, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given to us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and that we are in him and that is true, even the Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. He said, now, these things written that we may know. Now, by the way, we're not guessing about it. We know that. Some of the biggest hurt I've had, Brother Williams, in my life has been since I've been saved. It wasn't out yonder in the world somewhere, but it was trying to do the work of God, trying to do what God said do. Some of the greatest hurt I've had in my life has been from God's people. Now, hold on now. My brother related to it this morning. I'm one of these that believe that our God is sovereign and nothing touches our life without God's knowledge. God could have stopped everything that was adverse and hurtful, but he didn't. Paul, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, I besought the Lord how many times? Three times. He had a thorn in the flesh. So he started praying, but he stopped praying. He just prayed three times. And he becomes frustrated. He becomes frustrated about what God's doing. I want to say to you, there's been times in my life that I've had to say to God, dear God, I don't understand what you're doing. And the blessed Holy Ghost of God bends low and said, I understand that you don't understand, but you will understand. I'm telling you, God's working all things together for my good and for his glory. He could have stamped it out. He could have stopped it, but he allowed it. Now, he either designs it or he allows it. If he designs it, he's got a purpose. If he allows it, he's got a purpose. And God said to Paul, I'm not going to remove the thorn in the flesh. But here's what he said. I'm going to give you grace sufficient to bear it. And so Paul, in his frustration, gets a revelation from God. And then there is the transformation of the Apostle Paul. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. But it didn't happen overnight. It was a process. Frustration. Revelation. Transformation. I'm telling you, God is in charge. The Democrats are not in charge. And the Republicans are not in charge. God is in charge. God's not wringing his hands about what's going on down here in America. No, 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 no. God knows exactly what's going on. He knows our downsetting, our uprising, our thoughts afar off. He knoweth the way that I take. Job said he knows the way that I take, and when I'm tried, I'm not going to come forth like a tin can. But I've come forth as gold. What's God doing? God is working all things together for my good and for His glory. Now listen to me. John chapter 2. In the marriage supper at Cana of Galilee. First miracle. They ran short on wine. The mother of Jesus said they have no wine. Mary said to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And the Lord said something to those servants. Their names were not given. That's not important. God said something to Mary, didn't know what they said to the servants. The governor didn't know what he said to the servants. The guest didn't know what he said to the servants. But the servants knew. The servants didn't know. And he said, fill the water pots with water. They didn't need water. They're short on wine. They had never been in a position like this before. He said, fill the water pots. If Ben, the average fundamental independent temperamental Baptist, said, say, well, we probably need to vote on this. Need to have a business meeting about this. But they promptly obeyed the Lord. And when they obeyed the Lord, He was glorified. They were blessed. And everybody else benefited. The governor didn't know. The guests didn't know. But the servants knew. And they just did. What's God doing? He's working all things together for good. And I'm telling you, dear friend, if you do what God says do, He's always glorified. You'll be blessed. And others will be benefited by it. God's working these things together for our good. Now notice with me, please. Faith is this. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, faith is resting in the fact that God has an objective in leaving me here on the scene. Listen. God has an objective for leaving me here on the scene when I feel useless to Him and I feel like I'm a burden to others. You said, I don't ever have any feelings like that. Hold on. When you get to the place to where you feel useless to Him and a burden to others, faith is just believing God that He's got a purpose for you. Hallelujah. God's got a purpose for you. And so you've struggled and you've fought and you seem like there's very little response. Seem like no one's listening. Seem like no one's caring. But I tell you, faith is this. It's believing that God has an objective in putting me right where I am. He's, hallelujah. He's got a plan for your life and a plan. Hey, He wanted you and He delighted in saving you and His design is to use you. Everybody. And so let me say secondly, he said the certainty of His providence, but the scope of His providence. Notice what the verse said again. And we know that what? All things. And notice in the 8th chapter of Romans verse 30. He said, moreover, whom He did predestinate. Don't get excited about that. That means that God's got a purpose and He's going to fulfill His purpose. Whom He did predestinate, and by the way, He didn't predestinate anybody to go to hell. Amen. You're welcome. I'm saying to you, I'm saying He predestined them that they, and them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these saints? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give give us all things. I'm saying this. This is the purpose of God. What's he doing? He's conforming me to the image of his dear son. He's working out those areas of my life that's not pleasing to him. He's having to cut off some there and break away something there, add something there. But he's molding, hallelujah, he's molding me according to his purpose. Can I tell you, I bless the day when he came to me, when I could not come to him, and began a good work in my heart. Hallelujah to God. He didn't take a day off since then. He's still been working in me. What's God that working in you? Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's got a pattern in mind. He's molding me to be a vessel. Make meat for the master juice. I'm saying to you, he's molding the clay. And a vessel has no ability. And a vessel has no personality. But a vessel only has capacity. Here it is. Vessel has what? Capacity. And so he fills my vessel as I allow him to mold my life and make my life. And by the way, it takes some stops along the way. It takes some hard knocks along the way. But he's doing what? He's molding my life. He's making a vessel meet for the master's use. And so if I'm yielded to him, what he puts in, he'll tip my vessel along the way and pour out a little bit along the way to be a blessing and help to somebody. But it's not me. It's what's in me. Come back with me. I'm saying he's working all things together for good. That's his purpose. Now, there's various changes that come in life. Verse 35 through verse 39. He talks about death and disease. And we can talk about demons and disappointments and sorrows and nature and mankind. Job was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. He lost everything he had. But he lost everything he had with God's permission. Look here. I don't believe the devil could have touched one hair on the back of Job's camel without the permission of God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, are you listening to me today? Amen. Can I tell you, God is no respecter of persons. I'm telling you, God's jealous over you too. Amen. He's working all things together for good. I could talk about Paul's imprisonment. I could talk about the death of Christ at Calvary. I'm telling you, God has a purpose. Calvary wasn't an afterthought. Calvary was in the plan of God before the foundation of the world. Oh, yes. And could I tell you the reason why? Is that we have a sovereign God that is big enough to take care of our need. Notice with me, please. I'm saying he's eternal, and so time is no problem with our God. And he's omnipotent, so power is no problem with our God. And he's omniscient, so wisdom is no problem with our God. He's omniscient, and so nothing can be done behind his back. He's a holy God, so he can do no wrong. He's a God of love that will not harm you. And again, I remind you that our times are in God's hands. All things. Can I tell you, that's not just the good things. That's the bad things too. I've got two grandchildren. One's 14-year-old granddaughter and 10-year-old grandson. And they had in their church a man that's 45 years of age. Had five children that just died a few weeks ago with cancer. He took treatment for 18 months. And then the Lord took him home. And my little grandson said to me, he said, "Papa, why does God let good people get cancer?" And man, he's serious. And could I tell you, I don't have the answer to that. But I can say that all things do work together for good to them that love God. I don't understand that. I don't understand why my mom died at 53 years of age with cancer, having suffered with cancer for 22 years. I don't understand. I don't understand all that. But I'm saying to you, I believe that our Heavenly Father is a good God and he does nothing to hurt. Amen. All things work together for good
to them that love God, to those who are called according to His. Now notice with me again. Notice not only the fact of He said, and we know there's a certainty of His promise. And He said, we know that all things. He said it's the all things, not some things, not most. And so that means this. When you had that great conflict in church and you felt like you was about to die. And you know, you read your Bible and you said there's no way under God's heaven that what's going on could be right. And if you didn't get bitter, you got better.
Yes, sir. Come on.
But it's when you get bitter that you have to take the test again.
Right.
I want to say to you, listen, ladies and gentlemen, don't you think the world's going to jump up and applaud you because you're trying to serve God? Don't you think that everybody is going to be supportive of you because you're still holding to the old time way? But Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. And He said, if they hate you, be reminded that they hated me before they hated you. So, you lost your church. I've been there. I can identify with that. Someone said, why'd you leave? I said, for health reasons. Yeah, they got sick and tired of me. But it's a sad day when the people that you've won to Christ and you've poured your life into won't even speak to you on the street. And it's not only that, Brother Buster, it's the fact that they seem like they're determined to do everything they can to destroy your life and ministry. And so I know what it's like for folks to send letters, and deacons sent letters to all my preacher friends and mission boards across the country. And everything that was in it was anything but the truth. But they meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. Hallelujah to God. There's a day that dawned in my heart that God said, son, be reminded I'm God on the mountain, but I'm still God in the valley. I'm God when they're supporting you, but I'm God when nobody seems to care. I'm God when they love you, but I'm God when they do everything to destroy you. I'm still your God. I'm still in charge. I'm still in control. Hey, I'm telling you, all things are still working together for good. Come back with me, please. I want to say to you, not only the scope of His providence, but notice with me the continuity of His providence. He said, "We know that all things work together. That they work together." As I said earlier, that preliminary work when He first came to us, that was salvation. But there's a progressive work in sanctification, and then there's a promised work of glorification. Could I say to you? He hath begun a good work in me. When I went to church that Friday night, June 14th, 1960, I didn't go to get saved. I went to see my girlfriend. But I'm telling you, hallelujah, God had the table set as a man preached the word of God, and the Holy Ghost convicted my heart of my sin and said, whosoever will may come. I said, I believe I will. I got up from where I was, trusted Jesus as my Savior. He saved my soul.
Amen.
That was a preliminary word. But He's been working. He had to work. And by the way, could I tell you, I don't like to admit it, but Brother Bear, there's sometimes I was on the borderline of becoming very bitter in my heart. Because I had you know what happened in my church? I had staph infection.
Right.
Yeah, I had a man on staph. Staph infection. And he said, I'd be willing to be your associate, to stand by you. God hasn't called me to preach. I'll just be an assistant. Be glad. Man, he's a PR man. And when he's out, supposed to be out visiting, he's out drinking coffee and eating pie with the elderly crowd, building him an Absalom following. I'm telling you, I'm still God's man today.
Amen.
I thought I'd tell you, none of that took God by surprise. God said you probably need a little bit more training, a little bit more molding, a little bit more shaping. And so God allowed that to touch my life. And I will say, blessed be the name of God today. Thank God for His wonderful blessing. I'm saying to you, That fellow doesn't call me, but the worst thing about Brother Barry is that he's related to my wife as far as relationship, kinship. And so there's a riffle in the whole family. And they say to me, "What? Tell me." I said, "I'll tell you, that would be a non-profit conversation." And so I didn't tell him. I hadn't told him till today. But God, they said, "Man, you won't ever make it in evangelism." Well, I'm telling you, I can't, but he can. They said, "If you don't link up with a mission board, you won't ever make it. You got to have support if you're going to." Yeah, these churches out here is not going to support you. When I left at 59, I didn't have any meetings. I didn't have any support. I didn't have a promise of a meeting. But I thought I'd tell you, everything's been running real smooth. I probably preached more this year than any other time in my life. And to God be the glory. I'm saying to you, God's doing well. God is working all things together. And he doesn't take a day off. He doesn't take vacation. I'm saying God continually works in your life. And in this meeting, what's God doing? He'll take a Buster Mullins and a preacher message, and God will mold our life. He'll take a Barry Rackley and mold our life. He'll take Brother Joe. What's the last name? Again. Chapman, yeah, he's molding our life. And then Dr. Mackley, what's he doing? Molding our life to make us to be, hey, not like one another, but to make us to be like Jesus. He just keeps on working on me. By the way, I want him to. I want him to. It's this. He that hath begun a good work in you, we'll perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I want you to see with me the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. We're talking about God. What's he doing? He's, by the way, I might not understand it all, but I know he's working. Somebody said, God's begun to work in our church. I'm telling you, he's always been working. Yeah, he's always been working. Hey, God's always been working. And you, hey, wake up and realize that when you're down at the lowest ebb, God's still working. God's, hey, what's he trying to do? Get glory for himself and make you a servant meet for the master's use. No. 13th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 13. I want you to look with me, please, at verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I just want to stop and say, thanks be to God. He didn't throw the clay away. He's still working on me. And hallelujah, I want to be a yielded vessel that he might mold me into the image of his dear son. I want you to see with me the unity of that providence. He said it back in Romans 8. He said, and we know that all things work together. They're working together. You can take the great symphony orchestra and brings to climax that beautiful piece of music. But if you take just one of those instruments out, and that when it's all beautiful together, and by the way, you take just one out and you just got the bass drum, or you just got the bass horn, and it's not very melodious. But they're all together. It's beautiful singing. Beautiful music. You can take that ingredients that goes into the making of the cake, the shortening, the flour, the salt, the color, and baking it together. And listen, you don't eat just flour. You don't eat just the matter of the shortening. But when you put it all together and put some coconut on it, hallelujah to God, it's working together. Can I say to you, God takes this air. Hallelujah. Can I say to you, I'm grateful. Are you listening to me? I'm grateful for what God does. God takes one man and he touches my life here. Takes another man and touches my life over there. What's he doing? He's putting her all together for the glory of God. Amen. For my good. He's getting glory. I'm getting help. And by the way, if I get any kind of help, others will be benefited by it. Hallelujah to God.
Amen. My wife would be benefited with it if I get a little help. But my family, and I'd say your church family would be helped too if you get some help from God.
So don't become so critical. The same God that's working all things together for your good is working all things together for their good. God's in charge. He's not given in his authority to anybody. He's still in charge. He's still my God. The eternal God is our refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And that word underneath means below the bottom. And I'm going to tell you, he's working all things together. And if I should fail, if I should fall, I'll fall right into his arms. And he doesn't throw the clay away. He's working things together for my good and for his glory. Listen, I'm thankful that I've lived long enough to see some things I didn't delight in when I was going through them. And so I took that verse. It came to pass. It's a good verse for me to hang on to. I'm glad, praise God, it didn't come to stay. But the unity of his providence. See, here's an illustration. Joseph dreamed a dream and his parents rebuked him. Joseph dreamed a dream and his brothers despised him. They sold him into bondage. First cast him into the pit and planned to kill him, but Reuben intervened. And so they sell him into bondage. He ends up in Potiphar's house. While in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife lies about Joseph. Joseph leaves his coat and keeps his purity. He's placed in prison. He's in prison. While in prison, the baker and the butler is there too. God's doing what? God's working all things together for good. It doesn't seem like it's good, does it? Doesn't feel like it's good, but it's good. God's with Joseph when he's cast in the pit. God's with Joseph when he's sold into Egyptian bondage. God's with Joseph down at Potiphar's house. God's with Joseph down in the prison. God's with Joseph when he's in Pharaoh's court. He said to his brethren, they get real nervous and they think Joseph's going to end the score. He wasn't one of those Baptists said, if there's anything I'm going to do, I'm going to get even. You know you can get even? I know a lot of Baptists are working feverishly about getting even, but while you're getting even, you're losing a lot of ground. You said, last thing I do, I'm going to get even with him. No. You better be reminded of this. The battle is not yours. It belongs to God. And God feels your hurt and God fights your battle. Hallelujah. I'm saying to you, he's touched with the feelings of your infirmities. God furnishes a table before you. He'll fellowship with you. God will take care of you if you'll let him. And so here's the results of the providence of God. He said, we know that all things work together for good. He didn't say all things working together make you rich. He didn't say all things working together make you healthy. He didn't say all things working together to make you have a long life. He didn't even say all things working together make you happy. But he said all things are working together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so it's working together. The results of his providence is for our good. He's doing what? He's working it together for our deliverance and for our development and for our direction. And so here's a man at school, like I was a long time ago in school, and he's studying, preparing for the work that God's called him to do. Leaves his home church and moves to another city, enrolls in a Bible school, and he's struggling. Loses his job. He can't pay the rent. He can't pay the school bill. He prays and prays and waits on God and feels like, here's what I must do. I must just go back home and try to get a job at home and try to regroup to where I can come back and settle my accounts here. So he puts his wife and his children in the little luggage they have in the old car. It's just a rattle trap anyway. And he leaves out the home place and he goes down to the stop sign. And he normally turns right when he goes to out of the town, but he turns left this time. And his wife said, "What are you doing? You turned the wrong way." And he said, "I just feel led of God to go this way." So he goes two blocks down the road, and a man in a Cadillac runs a stop sign and hits them broadside, throws their luggage out into the street. The man, his wife, and children were not hurt. The man's real nervous in the Cadillac. He comes over and checks to see they're all right, pulls out his checkbook, and he said, would $5,000 be enough to take care of your needs at this time? And the fellow said, "I believe it would be." And so he takes the $5,000 and puts it in his pocket and puts his luggage off the street, turns the rattle trap around, go back and pay the rent, pays the school bill. What's God doing? God's working all things together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
Amen. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. I want you to see with me again the principles of the providence. He said, we know that all things work together for good to them. The persons involved is to them that love God. To those who know, the verse is not for all men. It's not for if they're not saved, it's working together for their ruin and for their condemnation. But the purpose of God is to do what? To conform us to the image of His dear Son. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't go to church when I was a young man. I didn't know anything about living for God. I had a dad that undoubtedly must have been related to Brother Buster's dad. But the difference is this. As far as I know, my dad lived and died without knowing Christ. He died at 89 years of age. I talked to him about the Lord. And he said, "Son, if it's left up to you to tell me how to get saved, I'll go to hell." And I said, "Daddy, I'm sorry you feel like that. I want you to know I love you, and you won't ever be able to say no one ever told you." And by the way, I detest these preachers that run around and run into a room and talk to people and say, "Well, you know, they got right with God." I'm telling you, if my dad had got right with God, I believe I'd been one of the first ones he'd want to tell. What I'm trying to tell us today, all things work together for good to them that love God. The psalmist said, "I'll be pleased when I awake in his likeness." John said, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when we shall see him, we'll be like him." But he's working things together for good. The things that we call tragedies and the things that we call accident is that there's God hasn't forsaken us. God knows your heartache. God knows when the doctor said it's terminal. God knows when the doctor said we can't do anything more. God knows when everything's caving in on top of you. And He's a sovereign God. And you're His child. And everything's still working together for good to them that love God. Let me give you an illustration, I'll be done. William Cowper, you know that name. Great songwriter. Was a man that experienced great depression. Now let me say a word about that. Don't you laugh about people who have depression problems. Because if you live long enough, you're apt to experience some of it yourself. And don't you be guilty of passing judgment on people who have depression problems. And you said, "I'll tell you one thing, bless God, if they get right with God, they wouldn't have." No, you better be careful. You better be careful. And I'm preaching in churches across this land where there's people that's dying with depression. I preached a message in Dr. James Jones' church, and he said, "Brother Joe, you ought to preach in every church that God lets you to preach in." And he told me some stories about what was going on. No, it's not me. It's the Word of God that makes a difference. But Cowper experienced depression. Spurgeon experienced depression. My pastor experienced depression. And I remember the times he'd ask me, and I don't say this with any disrespect, but he'd ask me to come in and put my hands over his head and plead the blood of Christ over his mind. I'm talking about a man that was a great intellect, a man that was next to a genius as far as intellect was concerned, a man that could unfold this Bible, a man with the power of God upon him. And I was called to his house, and he said, Brother Joe, said, I fought the devil all night. So the devil told me I was an apostate. I'm not talking about somebody that know the Bible. I'm not talking about somebody who hadn't been in the ministry for years and years. I'm not talking about somebody who hadn't touched many thousands of lives. Cowper hired a cab driver to take him to the London Bridge. There was a dense fog that engulfed the section of the town. And the cab driver became lost, and after 2 hours, he could not find the bridge. And so Cowper said, could you find the way back? Could you find the way back home? He said, if you take me back, I'll pay you. The cab driver didn't want to accept any money because he had not taken him to his destination. But Cowper said, you saved my life. I was going to commit suicide. And the 2 hours in the back seat of this cab was the time needed to get my heart back to God. And as a result of that, he wrote many songs, but one was like this. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm. Hey! I'm telling you, that's your God. That's my God. The leper said, I was glad that I contacted leprosy. Otherwise, I would not have gone into a leper colony. And if not in the leper colony, I've never heard that Christ is able to save to the uttermost. I know that it might not be what we think we ought to hear, but it's still between the pages, this old black book. And my Christian friend, I want to tell you, I love you. And preachers, I love you. I'm saying to you, if it wasn't for preachers, I wouldn't have a ministry. I'm a full-time evangelist. I'm not one that politics. I'm not one that tries to push a door open. But I respect you and your ministry. And I know somewhat of your heartache and the problems that you go through. Having pastored a little 30 years myself, I know a little bit about it. I don't know it all. But I know this. We're on the same team. And when you hurt, I ought to hurt. And when I hurt, you ought to hurt. I love you, and I thank you for your friendship. And thank you, Pastor, for letting me come today.